Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Bruce James. Bruce is the public printer of the United States and the chief executive officer of the U.S. Government Printing Office. And joining us in our conversation is Lauren Ewall. Well, Bruce, let's start by talking about the new logo. It was released in the spring. Could you tell us about the design and the significance behind it?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. The Government Printing Office itself was created in the 1860s by President Lincoln. And I had an opportunity. I'm the 24th public printer to have served in the role of chief executive of the GPO. And I went back and did a little research and looked at how the image of the GPO had been presented over those years. And there were basically four approaches to presenting the image of the GPO, all built around printing presses. And when I walked in the door, there was a Ben Franklin-era printing press that formed the base of our logo. Yet our business was changing. And, for instance, this year, for the first time, more than half of government documents will not be printed. They'll be available only in digital form to be accessed over the Internet. And I thought it was time that that the symbol of the GPO was changed to reflect the changing nature of our business. And, of course, we could have hired one of the big design firms, Lippincott Margulis or Landor or somebody to do a study and do this for us. But instead, I turned the project over to our own design group, and we have a pretty good design group. And I was just delighted to see that they had thought about this for a long time, and, you know, people that with real initiative had been thinking about this for years. And so it didn't take them very long. It took them just a matter of weeks to create for me a new approach. And I'm very pleased with the way the logo looks. It embodies some of the symbolisms of the past, but it certainly talks in bits and bytes about our future. And the future of the Government Printing Office lies in electronic information distribution, not in printing.
Can one just change the logo? Is it just the responsibility of the CEO?
You know, you can just do that. It doesn't require any approval. I didn't have to take it to anybody. I just did it. At least I think I could just do it.
So far, so good. Bruce, can you tell us a little bit more about GPO access and other e-government-like projects, such as the online bookstores that you just mentioned? And you know, what kind of materials are available at both of these sites?
You know, the government documents primarily consist of reference and research material. And we don't do many trade books. We don't do many novels or nonfiction books. Most of what we do is filled with facts and figures. And people don't read from cover to cover. They use these as references. And clearly, if you're looking for a piece of information in today's world, it's much easier to sit down at your computer and call up a search engine like Google and enter your request and have that information presented to you. So for the past 10 years, the GPO has been in the process of designing and building that type of information system. And today we've got about 370,000 documents altogether in the system. We host the websites for more than 40 agencies, and those that we don't host, we point to. So when you come to the GPO website, web portal, which is called gpoaccess.gov, it gives you access to the information surrounding Congress, the information surrounding the courts, as well as the federal agencies.
Interesting. And what other technologies is GPO using now? And how is information technology changing the way GPO does business?
You know, this business of having to save all of the government's information, which I'm responsible for doing, is would be overwhelming if we had to do it all on paper. So probably 35 years ago, we began to microfiche much of this material, particularly material we wanted to save. And so we would furnish libraries paper copies as well as microfiche copies. After the initial use of paper, they could save the microfiche copies. Then we moved on to CD-ROM, and we began to deliver material in CD-ROM. And, of course, we're using DVDs, and we're using just about any medium that you can imagine to collect and distribute information. We're experimenting with all forms of media. As I see it, the issue here, as we transition from being a print-based government information office to an electronic government information office, we have some problems in front of us. And you've heard me speak of this in the past, Lauren. The difficulty is in authenticating information that's being downloaded from the Internet. If you write to the Superintendent of Documents and we send you a paper document, it arrives in a government-franked envelope. You know, one of those penalty envelopes costs you $300 if you try and reuse
right.
it. Well, that's ridiculous. By the time you rip it open, you can never reuse it. And but when you're holding that document in your hand, you have every reason to believe that's an authentic United States government document. On the other hand, if you download the same information from the Internet, our Internet site, we cannot today authenticate that. And I think this is one of the big challenges that we face now, and that is how to establish a chain of custody from the point of author origin to the point that we deliver this information to an Internet customer. And if you download a document and pass it along and it gets passed along again, how are we able to continue to authenticate that document? So we're working in conjunction with some very talented people to try and get our arms around that. And at the other end of the scale, you know, if we print something on paper, we have every reason to believe it'll be in existence for 300 or 400 years, maybe longer, as long as the paper's not exposed to direct sunlight. On the other hand, if we record that magnetically, we have no idea how long that'll be around. So we've got to figure out how that we can fulfill our mission of keeping this material, not just keeping the material, not just archiving the material in a cave someplace, but keeping this material available to the public forever. And that's going to require a new business approach, and it's certainly going to require the implementation of new technologies.
Earlier, you talked about the Federal Depository Libraries, and I'm curious, what's the new Library of the Year award?
Well, you know, librarians sometimes, I think, have thankless jobs. You know, these are very highly educated people that have great knowledge of information, how you use information, where you find information. And we've decided that it's just time that we recognize the good work of some of the really amazing librarians in this country. And so for the first year, Judy Russell, who's the Superintendent of Documents for the United States, works for me, decided that we should offer an award for the person who has the leading depository library. And we've opened this up for nominations from the depository library community. We'll make the final decision, but we'd like whoever wins to have the support of their peers in winning this award.
Can you tell us just a little bit more about the Federal Depository Library Program, and can you describe, Bruce, the relationship between the electronic-based information and the continued use of these libraries?
These depository libraries are particularly our regionals, our 53 regionals, are, as you might imagine, large buildings with large collections. When you have one copy of every government document, it requires a lot of space to store it, whether it's in print or microfiche or in CD-ROM. And as we transition to all electronic information, and I think we will get there, my prediction is within 5 years, 95% of all the government's information will be furnished only in digital form. We will not print it. Well, this creates a whole different scenario for our depository libraries, and we're working with them to try and discover together what the best way to operate this depository library program is going to be in the future. We've had some discussions with the librarians about perhaps developing for them a unique set of finding tools that would allow them to mine the data in the database in a different fashion than might be publicly available to do it, where it would require a professional to use these tools. That's an example of what we're looking at, but we definitely are working to look at what the program will be as the 21st century unfolds.
We know that GPO is working with GAO to conduct an in-depth study of federal information dissemination. What's been learned so far?
I've learned so far that the government moves at a very slow pace. This study is, which was mandated by Congress 6 months ago, is just now getting off the ground. As a matter of fact, on Friday, June 13th, we had a group of folks from GAO on a walk through our facilities and reviewing some of the ways that we do things. We haven't had a chance to learn much from them yet. They tell us they're going to complete the study by the end of the year. We certainly hope they do. We're encouraging them to do that, and we're trying to be as much help as we can. This information is very important to me as I lead the agency in developing a strategic direction for the 21st century. I've told Congress that we will unfold a new direction for them next calendar year. And I look at this as a fact-finding phase. GAO is gathering facts for us, and we're also on our gathering facts on our own, too.
We tend to think about the information you've described as from the government to citizens to do things, but I imagine also they're tracing through how government exchanges information as well. Is that part of their charter? And
I think that this stems from the fact that Title 44 of the U.S. Code requires that all government printing come through the GPO. Unless it is accepted by Congress. And over the years, Congress has accepted a number of agencies for the purpose of building their own printing plants and for perhaps some unique reasons. And I think we've lost track of what some of those exemptions are. And I think what the government would like to do is get their arms back around this, understand what's out there, understand who's using what kind of equipment, how it's being used, and see if there might be a more efficient way to produce this work.
That's a good stopping point. We've got to go to a break. Come back in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Bruce James, the Government Printing Office. What are the management implications of being a fee-for-service agency? We'll ask Bruce to give us his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.